Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning before the big snowstorm. And I woke up this morning to the sun shining. I went, this must be the calm before the storm. Just like to highlight a few announcements in our bulletin and also not in the bulletin. Those who are going along this afternoon to sing, you're all invited to sing, go along singing to the shut-ins this afternoon. We will be meeting in the kitchen after worship this morning for a short lunch, and then we'll get on the road. And I'm not sure where we're going, but I guess Pam has that under control. We'll just follow along. But you're all invited to go along with that. I do want to announce that our sister Rita France has passed away, and her funeral is Tuesday. I think there's visitation at 10 and the service is at 11. I do want to highlight one other thing. Spiritual renewal services, you'll find those printed on the yellow sheet in your bulletin. They will start Sunday morning with one service at 10:30, followed by the all-fellowship meal. You're all invited to attend the all-fellowship meal. Bring a yummy dessert along to share. And then services will be Sunday evening through Wednesday evening. Please feel free to share this with your neighbors and your friends. Pat. Yep, Sunday evening you'll see that the pizza is at 6 o'clock instead of after the service. It's gonna be before the service. So keep that in mind, come out and share not only in pizza but in good fellowship prior to the worship service. Any other announcements? I'm not seeing any. Let's stand and greet one another this morning. Before, I lost them. Please remain standing as we go into our call to worship. Before we have our call to worship, I do have one other announcement. The Kobe's banquet, the spring banquet's coming up March 14th. A group of us here at the church got a table. We still have 3 seats available at the table. So if you'd like to go to that banquet, it's for the evening banquet on March 14th. See Mary or myself. So we still have 3 seats available. Father, thank you for your presence in this place, for the love you pour upon us. Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts and minds to receive all you have in store for us this day. Remove any distractions, Lord, that hinder and keep us from fully focusing on you. Draw us closer, Lord. Hem us in and create a newness within us to change the world by your love. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know if it amazes you, but it amazes me that we're able to come before a loving, a forgiving, the God of the universe and petition him with our prayers. That is a powerful thing we're able to do. And it's not just at church. It's every single day of our lives we have that opportunity to share in prayer for each other's concerns and each other's joys. I believe there'll be a microphone. If you put your hand in the air, we'd be more than happy to pray for any needs you may have this morning or any joys that you'd like to share with us.
My father, Martin Bayshore, he had an infection this week, and I had him down to the hospital. He's back there this morning for a follow-up with that. So just keep him in prayers.
I'd just like to share that Connie Kopp is home from rehab. She still has rehabilitation to do at home over the next couple of months, but she's in good spirits, and it was good to talk to her again.
It's a joy to have my friends Suzanne and Sandy here today. And also, I would want to lift up my friend Judy, who's in Hershey. She had an operation this week. And then also Edie, who's going to get her leg taken off tomorrow.
We could keep the Bamberger family in our prayers. My mother was killed in a car accident right outside of our place on Monday morning, and she leaves behind a 5 and a 2-year-old.
For those of you who read your bulletin very, very closely, you may notice on the bottom of the page where it lists the Sunday school classes, there is no longer a Willing Workers class listed. We've kind of blended into the Koinonia. Currently we're studying Galatians, but we are going to go on to the standard lessons because the spring quarter features our own Delmas Keeney. So if there's anybody else that wants to join, let us know as soon as possible. We will be getting more books. Two more things. Those of you, keep praying for Curtis. If you want to mail him cards and you don't have the address, I have some address things here. And you can put the card in my mailbox, and I can put the stamps on. I have over 100 of them. The other thing, I need to do a little grandmother bragging. 2:30 Friday morning, I had sent congratulations to my granddaughter. She passed the highest level of Japanese proficiency exam, has accepted a new position, and will be moving by the end of March to Yokohama. She keeps trying to get further south. Poor kid saw snow one time this winter, so she'll be moving further south. And by the way, it's getting warmer over there already, so I'm jealous.
I want to thank everyone for their prayers, their cards, and all their concerns for the loss of my brother and to the rest of my family for everything he's done for us. Thank you very much.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this moment that we are here in this place as fellow worshipers, as believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, as those that may be seeking. Lord, you are here among us, and we are so thankful for that presence. And Lord, it stirs us, it moves us, it encourages us, it leads us into knowing that this life has extreme importance. to be able to come alongside one another during times of grief, during times of joy, during times of the unknown and being overwhelmed and being filled with stress. Lord, you know our very lives. You know what we're focusing on in this very moment. And we just pray, Father, we would continually just turn to the cross, and we would know that we can lay any of those burdens at the foot of that cross, and we don't need to take them back. We can let them there and know that you are a God that will take them from us. You will receive them unto yourself, and you'll walk alongside us in this journey called life. So thank you, Lord, for everyone on our prayer concerns this morning. Father, you have heard their names. You know what their struggles are. You know the difficulties they'll be going through. We especially want to lift up the family that has lost a loved one in the car accident, Lord. Give them everything they need in this hour, Lord. And just help us to know what to say, what to do at any given moment when someone faces a situation as devastating as that. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of life. We know how precious life is, and just pray for those that are taking their own lives because of some social media act. But Lord, surround them. Send angels to guard them and to allow their hearts to see you. Your presence is with them. So thank you, God, for all that you do in our lives. And thank you for this time to worship you and celebrate who you are in our lives and to know what you call us to do as faithful followers. So help us to go and make disciples. Help us to reach out and to love and to support. And we just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to give us the guidance we need and to be our comforter. We do pause now in the service to just say we're sorry, to ask for forgiveness, but not just ask for forgiveness, Father. We confess our sins and we turn from them. We no longer want that to be our lifestyle. We don't want to live in that sin. So remove it from us, Lord, and thank you for forgiving them. And also we lift up prayers upon our hearts during this next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, your goodness, your faithfulness to us in this journey is overwhelming. We can't begin to thank you enough, but we can live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have placed upon us. Lord, we claim to be followers of Christ, and I pray as we go through this world that others would notice a difference, that they would see that we have a love that is overflowing, that we long to pour out upon others. But Lord, forgive us for those times we fall short. And help us to pick ourselves back up with your help to go forward again, Lord. And thank you again for all that you provide us in this life, and let us be a blessing to others. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
As we move to our offering this morning, I want to share a little bit from our Sunday school lesson with the young families are discussing right now, Francis Chan in his book, Letters to the Church. Part of what we're discussing is what is God's commandment versus what are traditions in the church. And one of his commandments is to take care of one another, take care of the widows and the orphans, and just to share in caring for each other. Part of the way we do that is in our morning offering. So I want you to think about that as you give your offering this morning, about where do we share in our offering and in our care for one another. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you and we just pray that we can follow your commandments and we don't get caught up in traditions. And as those commandments are, we are to care for one another and care for widows and orphans and just share in that care. And we pray that our morning offering might do so. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
I would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning. I have a really cool card trick I'd like to show you this morning, but I'm going to need a helper. Okay. All right. You're going to be my helper. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is you're going to pick a card out of the deck. But you can't show me. You can show everyone else, though. Okay? So you pick the card, and then I'll quick close my eyes, and you can show everyone. Go ahead. You ready? You're going to put it back in the pile. Now, I'm going to snap my fingers and the card's going to be magically on top. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. I think I might need one more. Is this your card?
Mm-mm.
That's it, isn't it?
Oh, no.
This isn't the card? Really? Oh, I don't understand what happened.
Maybe the next one is it.
Maybe. Should we try the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Nope.
Well, I bought a book to teach me this trick, and it didn't work.
Well, maybe you just need to keep trying, because, like, it took me 3 weeks until I could finally play my flute.
Oh, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it said I should let you choose a card and put it in the middle of the deck, and then when I snap my fingers, they would go to the top. But there was a bunch of other stuff that I had to do, and, well, I just didn't feel like it. It was way too complicated.
Maybe you need to do all the steps first, and
then
maybe it'll work.
So if I wouldn't have skipped over all those steps, maybe it would have worked. Well, you know, that was pretty silly of me. Sometimes we think life should be easy, though. Mm-hmm. We think that everything should happen at the snap of our finger. When life is hard, we look for the easy way out.
But that's not how God wants us to know. Sometimes we have to take the challenges, even if we don't want to.
Exactly. So this isn't anything new, like you know. People were like that in Jesus' day, too. One day, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was telling them all that he was going to have to suffer and save the world from sin. And he told them how he was going to be made fun of, beaten, crucified, and buried, but that he would rise again on the third day. That was when his father, that is what his father has sent him to do. Peter had other ideas. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and that wasn't what he wanted for Jesus. There had to be an easier way. Well, it is true. There is an easier way. Jesus had the power. He could have taken the easy way out, and he could have set up his kingdom right there on earth with the snap of his fingers. But that was not God's plan. Jesus turned to Peter and scolded him. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus said to Peter. "You don't have your mind on the things of God. You have your mind on the things of men." Jesus wasn't interested in taking the easy way out, and he doesn't want us looking for the easy way out. He said, "If anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Being a disciple of Jesus is not easy, and it doesn't happen with the snap of our fingers. It isn't easy, but the reward is great. Let's pray. Father, help us to be willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We know it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. Amen.
Joyful singing, it's all.
we come to our time of scripture reading this morning, I'm not only going to ask you to share in the unison reading, but I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Let's begin. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete."
Thank you, Brother Gary. You know, there's certain realities in life we're going to need to deal with. I'll never be a defensive lineman on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll never compare to Bryce Harper and the number of home runs he's going to hit for the Phillies. I'll probably never live in a mansion on a hill. I'll never drive that yellow Lamborghini I had on my wall as a child. But God hasn't promised skies ever blue, flowers strewn pathways always for you. God hasn't promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But here's what God has promised. And friends, I invite you not to depart from this, to stand firm in these truths. God will give us strength from above. We will always have his unfailing, his undying love. I know life can be difficult. I know the pain is real. And at times it seems the struggles go on and on forever. But as a poem continues from an unknown author, "But out of the darkness, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black and murky clouds descends the stainless snow. From a crawling earth-bound worm, a butterfly is born. And from the somber, shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. The pain, the stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of nails, the spear, the cross, redemption, and a crown." Friends, Jesus has told us our pain will go away. Verse 22 of John 16, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." There's times we need to emphasize, there's words we need to highlight, to put into bold, and those words today are, "No one will take away your joy." These words, friends, have power. These words have purpose. These words define meaning in our lives. Jesus said, "This is our time of grief." Like the disciples he's talking to, "He shall see us again." But as we know, this time he'll be riding on a cloud with a trumpet sound, and the redeemed will meet him in the air. So it's always a good time to ask that question, whether for each of us there will be rejoicing. Will we have reason for joy? This was the night before his crucifixion. Jesus has gathered his closest disciples, and he warned them that suffering was on its way. Actually, it was a common part of the first century Mediterranean life. In fact, in some ways, the Hebrew people had been defined by it for more than 400 years. These disciples were no strangers to suffering. But Jesus needed to remind them, to remind us that though suffering was a part of life, it would not define them. You see, Jesus has just made two promises. Your sorrow will turn to joy. Verse 20, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. I don't have to inform us that life can be full of sorrow. But friends, we are assured, it's been guaranteed that that sorrow is not the end of our story. There was this newspaper reporter who phoned in a story to his editor. It was about an empty truck that rolled down a hill and smashed into a home. This particular editor wasn't impressed one bit, and he told the reporter he wasn't going to run the story. And the reporter replied, "I'm glad you're taking this so well. It was your home." Friends, there will be times it's our homes. There will be times it's our very lives. It will be times that it will be people that matter the most to us. And friends, we shall weep. We shall mourn, but our stories don't end there. The beautiful part is there's not even a cliffhanger. We know how it ends and we can rejoice. We can turn our have to into an I get to attitude. You see, when we look at life through that lens, getting to has more motivation for us than any we have to any day. Now think about that with me. I get to suffer for Christ's sake and his glory. That has way more meaning and purpose than I have to suffer. It's the same with life. Our kids say it all the time. Some of you may even say it. Do I have to clean my room? Do I have to put away my clothes? Do I have to do my homework? Do I have to take out the trash? Do I have to brush my teeth, take a shower, and go to bed? No, son, you get to. See how that works? A simple change in words changes everything. So let's lean on an I get to attitude the remainder of our lives. Jesus goes on in verse 21, and he compares the grief process to what a woman experiences in giving birth to a child. Now, I've never been there, but I was by the side of my wife when she was delivering our first child. And by the way she gripped my hand, I could tell that the pain was intense and it wasn't fun at all. But sometimes keeping the end in mind keeps the body moving toward the goal. So after hours and hours of unbearable pain and suffering, there is this moment of overwhelming joy. And here's why. Two reasons. The pain is over, and you are left with a gift. This little bundle of joy that is unlike anything you have ever experienced before. Again, Jesus is saying, pain is not the end of our story. No matter how brutal, no matter how persistent, it's not the end. Let's look at a few biblical examples. We all know the story of Job. In the midst of his pain, has his wealth, his prosperity destroyed, his children violently killed, his body covered with diseased sores and racked with pain. But Job lifted his eyes towards the heaven and cried out in chapter 19, verses 25, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Here's what Job was saying. I know this is not at all the way it's going to end. Consider Moses, his life backed up against the raging sea, the most powerful army on the face of the earth bearing down on him, and his own people ready to lynch him for leading them into a certain death. Moses, arises to his feet. He stretches his staff over the raging sea and he tells the people, stand back and watch the God of the universe display his power. In other words, Pharaoh's army is not the end of their story. And what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before the fiery furnace? They cry out with one voice, our God, if he so chooses, is able to save us, O King. But even if he doesn't, we will never bow down to you. In other words, you may be the most powerful person in Babylon, but you don't get to write the end of our story. And finally, there's our brother Paul lying in a Roman prison, his character being questioned by certain Jerusalem Christians, facing almost certain death at the hands of the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And we hear these words in Philippians 1, verses 20 to 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says to Nero, you can kill me, but you will never define me. Friends, whatever hard, difficult, painful moments you are experiencing in this life, always remember, they do not define your story. The pain, the suffering part of this life is not the end of our story. And eventually we will understand. John 16:23, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now I'll admit, like the next guy, evil and suffering seems somewhat impossible to comprehend. Perhaps why there are so many theology books devoted to that particular topic. If God is good, where did evil come from? And most answers seem petty in the face of horrific suffering, especially when innocent children die. But Jesus wanted his disciples to know that things look very different depending on your view. For instance, on the other side of the resurrection, everything looks different. In a few weeks between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we'll see how everything changes. For now, what we do is cling to each other. We fight for justice and trust that Jesus is right. And we know he is. This pain will not define us. And one day, as Revelation 21:4 reads, he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So friends, in the midst of this life, we must come to terms with our identity. It's one of the most important things to understand about ourselves. Knowing who we are, what makes us tick, what makes us laugh, what gets on our nerves, what brings us joy. Those are the essential things to name, because that understanding affects everything else. How we look at life, how we deal with conflicts, and even who we choose to have as friends. Right now, if I were to ask you, who are you? How would you respond? Who are you? More than likely, we'd list a lot of external things. I'm a father. I'm 41 years old. I live in Bethel, PA. I'm a pastor. Those are all external things. They're part of us. But keep in mind, they are not permanent. They don't last. We know that time changes things. But friends, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an identity that you can see. You have an identity that you can know. You have an identity that, despite pain, has a way of making us lose sight in the midst of it. In essence, when we suffer, when we struggle, when we go through difficult times, it's easy to forget who lives in our hearts. Here's the thing. Your identity in Christ, it doesn't depend on your hair color. It doesn't depend on your body type. It doesn't depend on what you're wearing right now, or your bank account, or your career, what you drive, or where you live. God already defined this. Genesis 1:27, we are made in God's image. So keep this in mind when we go against others, when we say things about others, we're going against someone made in God's image. You see, our true identity hides somewhere much more precious than things, much more precious than any experience we'll have. That identity in Christ is eternal. You've heard the saying before, not of this world. And friends, if you're a follower of Christ, you're no longer a part of this world that's soaked in sin. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation in him. The old is past and the new has come. Now I know at times we all feel insecure. The reason being, we try to find our worth, we try to find our security in the wrong things. Hebrews 6:19, in Christ we are firm, we are secure. You see, he's always with us. We'll always have his stamp of approval. We never have to try harder for him to love us more. We never have to beg for him to stay. Because, friends, this is all part of God's character. His unshakable love is who he is. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, we get to be a part of it too. So again, look at your lives. Consider if you are a new creation in him. And if so, everything has changed. We'll face our struggles with a new identity that's been rescued, a new identity that's been redeemed from sin and darkness, and best of all, welcomed into God's kingdom family. I'd invite you to meditate on what the Bible says about you. Allow this to soak deep within. Leave this place confident of these words. You are his own special possession. You are chosen, handpicked by the God who created the universe. You are treasured. You are irreplaceable. You are loved beyond compare. You are worth dying for. You're forgiven. You're his child. You're secured for all eternity. You're set free. You're precious to him. And finally, being able to answer the question where your identity lies, you are set apart. Friends, these are things that can never be removed. They can never be messed up, forsaken, taken away, or changed. This is our identity in Christ. It's the way of life that gets us to the point of joy amidst the pain. May these words take heart for you today from Zephaniah 3:17. Hear the Lord singing over you, rejoicing in your new identity in Christ, embracing that you are his child, and expressing how he loves you more than you can ever imagine. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this new life. Lord, perhaps some of us this morning are still searching. We're still wondering, could this Jesus be real? Could he have really died on a cross? Could he have really set me free from my sins? Is the tomb actually empty? And we proclaim as a body of believers, it is indeed true. So, Father, we thank you for your Son, for walking a perfect life among us, for informing us that what happens in this life doesn't end our stories. But help us, Lord, to cling to our identity in you, to cling to the new creation that we are, to remove that old self day in and day out, and to live afresh, knowing who you've created us to be. And it's in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It's a new day. We can have a new start in Christ Jesus. May the Holy Spirit comfort you. May the Holy Spirit guide you. May the Holy Spirit give you the peace you need to face the days that are ahead. Know that his love goes forth with you, and it's an unconditional love, a love that means the most to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.